This is Phil Farron, and I am driving into town. I didn't actually go to work today. I'm taking a writing vacation. Well, I took a writing vacation, I should say. This book has gone long. These books are supposed to come in somewhere around 145,000 words. I am at 164,000 words, and I am not done yet. But I'm closing in. I'm closing in on it. I've got just a few more chapters to go. I took a writing vacation. I had already made budget for the month, so I didn't work yesterday or today, and I just have spent the last 2 days at home. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are in town, so I'm going in for a dinner with them, and I'm picking up my son-in-law at the church, so this may be interesting because he may join us on the podcast here in a little bit, and this is kind of cruel to do this to him because I'll be asking him to join me on a very interesting topic, and it might be a topic that he just doesn't want to comment on. So we'll see. And if he doesn't, that's fine. And I'll just finish up. But if he does, he's welcome too, because I always value his opinions. But this is one of those topics that you gotta really have some time to think about it. And there's an easy answer, and then there is the more difficult but potentially correct answer. So a buddy of mine put me on to this YouTube video several weeks ago. I don't think I've done a podcast on this. If I have, just chalk it up to the fact that I'm getting old and senile, and the fact that this has been a fast and furious week. So I wrote 4,000 words yesterday, actually 4,400. I wrote over 3,500 today, and I'm still not done. I think I'm finishing up on chapter 28. There's a chapter 29 where I need to kind of wrap everything up, set up the next book, and then I have news story stuff to do, which that usually goes really fast. And then I have to write the epilogue, which that takes some focus. So I'm assuming I'm going to be able to get through chapter 29 tomorrow and possibly the news stuff. And that's actually my deadline. I'm supposed to have the book roughed in by September 1st. But if it doesn't get roughed in until September, that's fine as long as I land the epilogue. And I think the epilogue's going to work. You know, I have a feeling that it'll work. I've got some details that I have to work out on it, but I think it'll work. Then I have a dead run for 3 weeks, a couple of weeks to get the book edited, roughly edited, and then a week to put together the cover, get shots of the kids, get them put on the cover, order the beta copies, go on vacation, come back from the vacation, and get everything in the mail. So it's been a little exciting. But that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes there's that. We do have a shortened podcast here today, so I'm just going to jump in real quick. The buddy who sent me this YouTube video is in the process of a very interesting thing in his life. Something that has never happened to him before. He has a very, very good friend who also happens to be female and married to someone else. They have forged a wonderful friendship together. It is not physical. You know, it is not sexual. They're just good friends. They enjoy doing things together. And he forwarded me a video call from Jonalyn Fincher is her name. Jonalyn Fincher. J-O-N-A-L-Y-N, Fincher, F-I-N-C-H-E-R. And it's a presentation she did at Biola College. It's over an hour long, so obviously I just have to hit the high points. It's worth going and seeing the whole thing. But it's very, very interesting. The name of the YouTube video is Harry and Sally Are Wrong, Why Christian Cross-Sex Friendships Need to Happen. Which is a very interesting topic. I mean, I traditionally, as I've been talking with people, the people I talk with, the people I go out and have meals with, are men. They have been almost exclusively men. There have been rare occasions when, for instance, a female, mutual female friend of Net and I's has come to town because she was working on her graduate degrees. Net and I and this female friend have gone out to eat, and then Net needed to leave and go to choir practice, and I and this female friend sat there and jabbered at the restaurant for an hour. I took her back to the theological seminary where she was going to have a class. We walked around, we jabbered some more. We eventually ended up in the chapel. She prayed with me over some things. I mean, it was wonderful. It was good. Very different perspective than I have, but it was good. But I was discussing this with my wife this week, and you know, it's only so far that I'm willing to take that. I have a buzz in my car today. I don't know if you can hear that, but that's new. Yay! Great things with old cars. There's always something new. But I was talking to Ned about this week in process of figuring out what I was going to do for the podcast, and I mentioned this friend, and I said, she's probably as close as I have to a really close female friend whom I could become much closer to, whom I could spend a lot of time discussing just lots of things about life. And my wife agreed that would be a possibility. I said, but out of deference to you, my wife, I don't push that very far because that would kind of get weird for you, I think. And she kind of looked at me, and she didn't say yes, but she kind of just looked at me like, yeah, it would. So Christian cross-sex friendships. This young lady was talking about the fact that her husband had invited a couple of his friends, a couple, to spend, I don't know, the weekend or something with them at a campground place, some kind of thingy. Because he said they were the coolest couple he knew, and so she was all excited, and she had gone three-wheeling with this couple's daughter on the back, and he had gone three-wheeling with the son, this male friend, and she had gotten stuck. And he came and helped her get out, and she was saying how she was kind of nervous. She was kind of nervous that she was out in the woods with a man who was not her husband. And she really started to unpack that, and she mentioned that Billy Graham said he would never allow himself to be alone in an elevator with another woman who was not his wife. Not because he was worried about what he might do to her, but what might be said, and he would have to defend himself. And she said that she has been, I mean, apparently she has a blog and has written a book called Ruby Slippers. And she said she's been very open about the fact that she has struggled with lust and how she's worked to overcome it. But she said also that we need to be very clear about what is lust and what is not. And in fact, because of the influence of Freud, where Freud sexualized everything, that she was talking about the fact that she believes it is possible for men and women to be friends, real friends, and how beneficial that can be in a person's lives without lust coming into it. And she said Jesus gives us a very specific definition for lust, and that is that you imagine yourself making love to this person. She said that does not exclude, and I agree with her on this, this does not exclude simply looking at someone and appreciating their beauty. And one of the things I've said about, you know, happening to look up and there is a beautiful woman in the vicinity and seeing her, that one of the responses that I have to that, and the one of the ways I protect myself with that, is that I say, I thank you, my God, that you have placed such beauty in the world. And she basically used that same line. She said, you know, I came on campus today, and she said there were these three individuals that were out running. It was a girl and two guys. And she said the girl had just a running shirt on, very conservative. It was fine, you know, nothing there. And she said the guys had their shirts off and they were running. And she said they were just beautiful. And she said, I just rejoiced in the fact that they were beautiful. But she talked about the fact that our society has created what she calls this romantic ghetto, where the only thing men know what to do with women and the only thing women know what to do with men is to use them, is to exploit them, is to get what they want from them and then move on. When she gives a lot of examples of her childhood as she was growing up, where she had wonderful relationships with her grandfather and with other men, and how those can sometimes get awkward. And she has been exploring, I guess, with this other couple, the guy being friends with her and his wife being friends with her husband. They have been exploring this idea of, just a second, I need to let my son-in-law know that I am here. I am here outside your office. Of your office. Of office. I have O-F-F-I-S. Of fis. Office. Anyway, so it's a really interesting idea. And the more I think about it, the more I kind of like it. But I think she's absolutely true in saying that they're, you know, it's not for everybody. And you have to be careful that you're not pushing people beyond what they're capable of doing. And so she gave like six things to kind of bear in mind. And she said cross-sex friendships are very similar to same-sex friendships. So she said all of the things that you get out of a same-sex friendship, you know, the good discussions, the interesting viewpoints, all those things, she said that's what you can get from a cross-sex friendship. But she feels like you also get this whole other perspective, which I would agree with that. And she said, number two, you won't ever have to force a connection. She said, you'll find when you find a true cross-sex friendship, that it's a friendship that will become important to you simply because of the exchange ideas and simply because of the person. It's not necessarily physical. It's not necessarily sexual. It's just there. She said also, she said, once you're friends with somebody of the opposite sex, and you'll find they're strong enough to learn how to delight in you without objectifying, you have to figure out what the appropriate things to talk about and the appropriate things are time. So this isn't just a free-for-all. This is something that you are going to have to guard yourself a little bit. Okay, my son-in-law is coming. Anyway, so she talked about that. And she talked about other things like figuring out what is appropriate in terms of modesty, and how you know what is modesty. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
I'm doing a podcast.
Sure looks like it.
Yes, it does. I'm doing a podcast on a really interesting topic.
Modesty?
Well, it's not modesty. It is a really interesting topic.
But well, don't let me interrupt.
No, but here's the deal. You would have an opinion on this.
No, I don't have any opinion.
But you might... but you might not want to comment. So, I kind of...
I will keep my mouth shut.
I kind of springing this on you.
Well, first off, thank you very much for picking me up.
You're very welcome. I am always happy to be of service in any way, shape, form, or manner that I can.
At some point, you should come and listen to the new sound system over there.
Oh, yeah.
The sound is better in the North Hall than it is in the auditorium.
Well, I was in there last week, and I clapped in the center of the room, and it was very good. The only thing I noticed is that if you get in the extreme corners, which maybe you don't care about, you're still getting some ricochet. Yeah, because the hallways are still giving you that. But in the center of the room,
keep going. You're good.
Okay, so the topic of conversation is Christian cross-sex friendships. Is it possible to have a deep, good, abiding friendship across the gender boundary?
The car doesn't sound very good.
I got some new tires. And the tire, they make a lot of noise. It's the tires.
That's not a good sound.
Oh, come on, it's fine.
Everybody listening to your podcast is not able to hear you over the sound of your tires rubbing against the wheel well.
Is that what it is?
You get monster truck tires. Yeah.
No, I don't know what happened. I got tires, and then it
something
just...
It's not good.
That
is not a good sound.
Are you sure?
Rubbing. Or if that's not your engine...
No, it's not the engine.
That has got to be...
What, that...
Well, that's not healthy.
No.
Has it been doing that before I get in the car?
Yes.
Okay, because...
Yeah. It's just tire noise. See, because when we go slower, it gets lower.
Yeah. Just tire noise means that the tire is rubbing against something. Listen, you need to get back to your very
important
podcast.
I checked the tires. Right. I don't think that... Maybe
podcast.
I have a pebble in it or something. I don't...
Podcast.
Anyways. So anyways, I'm getting towards the end of it. She had all these points about cross-sex friendships and understanding what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and what the benefits are. And it's her viewpoint. This was Jocelyn, I forget what her name is, Jocelyn somebody. She gave a talk at Biola University.
Yes, I watched it.
Well, did
I
you
watch the first?
Did you watch this?
She seemed fairly self-absorbed, so I stopped.
Oh, stop it! I thought she had some good things to say.
It was fine. I just stopped watching it after about 5 minutes.
Oh, did I? Did I send this to you?
You did.
Oh.
She was too self-absorbed for me, so I turned it off.
Oh, but...
She was talking about how attractive she was.
Well, she is attractive.
She was attractive. She was, like
said, and her struggles in life with that. So that's fine.
I skipped that part. When she started talking about how attractive she was.
She is attractive. Why shouldn't she talk about it? Anyway, so she was talking...
No, I mean, she can be attractive. But an attractive person who talks about how attractive they are is also self-absorbed.
That way.
Anyway,
so she was talking about the woman who comes to Jesus and anoints his feet and takes down her hair, and what a startling act that was in that society, the act of
this
taking...
It's not a good sound. Okay, sorry.
It's been making this sound for, like, months
you
now.
You are going 55 miles.
Oh, should I slow down? I always go 55.
I'm sorry. I am not a good passenger.
Anyways, she was talking about what a startling act that was. And she said, you know, it would be like, one of our leaders here to come up. And this woman comes out wearing a sarong and she pours perfume all her feet. And then she takes her sarong off and she wipes. But she said Jesus did not objectify her. Jesus treated her as a human being. That's really
what
good.
What is a sarong?
Sarong is the thing they have in Sri Lanka that wraps around the body, or like women use as a swimming blanket. You know, they kind of wrap it around, throw it over their shoulder. Anyways, and I think she's onto something there, because one of the other podcasts that I just did recently was the effect of porn on the brain. But one of the pieces of that was this idea that we as human beings are basically only made up in our physical nature of two different kinds of cells. We are made up of somatic cells, and we are made up of germ cells. So somatic cells are all the specialized cells, your heart, your brain, your skin, your eyes, all that kind of stuff. The germ cells are the cells that are used for germination to reproduce. And they are fundamentally different than all the rest of the cells in your body. And some would say that all the rest of the cells in your body have only one function, and that is to act as a transport for that. Because that's what Freud would say. Freud would say, it's all about sex, it's only about sex, all of life is simply dedicated to reproduction. And one of the points she was making is that when you don't recognize that people exist for more than just rituals of reproduction, when you do not accept what the society is telling you, because that's what the society tells us, that people of the opposite sex only exist to use them to help, you know, reproduce so that you can cause your DNA to have an extended legacy. That's what it all boils down to. And
I
she
should stop at a house right here.
Yeah. Which one?
Not this one, but the next one.
Next one?
The door open. The garage door open.
Oh, okay. One moment.
You can keep talking.
Okay, I'll keep talking.
You're now we're talking. I mean, I hear you and I'm...
Yes. So, dun, dun, dun.
Keep going.
Dun. Okay.
Going.
All right. So... So, in doing the podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of soma and germ. And the fact of the matter is that I think that's a really important concept. And I think that concept directly impacts what we're talking about here with cross-sex friendships. Because if you cannot get to the place where you understand that your embodiment, your existence here, can be heavily influenced just by the reproductive processes, or it can be heavily influenced by the fact that God has given you hands, He has given you feet, He's given you eyes, He's given you lips, He's given you ears to hear, and you can use all of those things to be gracious and kind to people, to do good works. You can use all of those things to spread the kingdom of God and make contributions into people's life. If you can't get past the fact that you exist for more than just the rituals of reproduction, then you're never going to be able to have cross-sex friendships, because the only thing you'll have for associations with people of the opposite sex is for rituals of reproduction. And in fact, in this little talk, Jonalyn, actually commented on the fact that her husband was off at a church one weekend, and he was talking to the youth pastor, and the youth pastor just told him flat out, "Yeah, man, you know, I mean, I really love Jesus and everything, but I actually, you know, I go out on the weekends and I have sex with people." Because he said, "You know, I'm a guy, and a guy just has to spread his seed. So that's just a function I have to do as a guy." And she said she thought that that was so sad, because obviously he didn't conceptualize himself as anything but germ. He was not soma. He didn't have any other purpose in his life but to go out and to just do the ritual of reproduction. Anyways, so we're here.
Oh, I agree.
You agree. No one agreed with everything because you were out of the car when I was talking.
I'm with you. No.
Okay, so this is Phil Farron. I have made it to my mother-in-law's house. We're done for the podcast. See you, bye.